He's glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 28. Trip out to California. Saw where some of y'all are from. They're in Arcata. And I didn't realize how many people were from there till they got to tell me everybody once I got up there. Hey, amen. There's a lot of y'all from up there. Praise God. Acts chapter 28, verse 1. Again, reading. If you're not there, just stop where you're at and try to look intelligent while we read. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him, and they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And then the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the land, of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. And so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Amen. It's very hospitable people, weren't they? Here, the island of Melita, or Malta as it is called now. It's a, I believe, maybe still a British stronghold. It's about 18 miles long, 9 miles wide. If they had missed it, they would have been lost out in the sea. Probably destroyed, but God made it to where that they landed perfectly there. And here, there was a violent storm that had mercilessly drove the ship under its ferocious power for 14 days. Everyone except Paul had lost all hope of being saved. And the sailors attempted to abandon the ship and would have lost their own life and the life of the ship as well if they had done so. Then the soldiers planned to kill all prisoners, including Paul, to prevent their escape. Didn't seem like things were stacked too good on Paul's behalf, were they? Amen. And here he escaped the ocean, and a snake's going to bite him. And now, at this time, there's no such thing as a snake on the island of Malta, so I don't know if there was snakes there then or not. But even if there isn't any now, we know there was at least one. Praise God. And I don't know, that would have made it even more of a strange coincidence in the people's eyes if there was something that had never happened before, on their island at least, a snake biting someone. And so here, he was bitten by the snake. There's 276 people were rescued, were made safe. And there was cold, the cold and the rain. And how many know that whenever it's raining and it's cold, it's really cold? Amen. I don't believe it has to. I think you can die of hypothermia just from getting wet. And your body, it helps your body temperature go down. And you get hypothermia a lot more often than if you were dry. So they were more in danger because of this. But there was cold. And then it says the barbarous people showed them no little kindness and kindled a fire. That's the cure, isn't it? So here tonight I'd like to preach on the cure for the common cold. Praise God. Maybe you'll remember that. It's not NyQuil. Praise God. But there was cold. Cold's a lack of warmth, isn't it? It's caused by distance from the heat or absence of heat. And we can have we can be in the right location. We can have the wood sitting all around us, but if we don't ever start a fire, we're going to be cold, aren't we? Praise God. Here I'm not necessarily stick completely to the text or to the story. Amen. I'm going to pull some aspects out of this. But we need to build a fire, don't we? Amen. We're in a cold world. The atmosphere is cold. The atmosphere is frigid. The atmosphere is against us. The atmosphere is against Christianity at this moment. There was a time when America was for Christians. There was a time when revival was what caused our nation to be born. There was a time whenever people fled to the United States and created this place because of religious freedom. They wanted to have a pure religion. They wanted to be apart from the things, the factions, and the worldly religion of their time. They wanted to be a part of that, so they came to America to be holy. Amen. But right now, we're far from that, aren't we? Amen. It seems to me that the church has ceased their upkeep on the building and allowed the winds of the world to blow inside of the church house instead of the winds of Pentecost like they should. They've allowed cracks to open up in the walls of the church, and the winds, the voices of the world, the things from the world have crept in and are blowing in, and no longer are we warmed by the things of the Spirit anymore, but we're warmed by the things of the flesh. Amen. Like Peter, we're warming ourselves at the wrong fire. Amen. Maybe not necessarily our church, but other churches out there are doing so. Praise God. But God didn't call us to be the first church of the frigid air, did He? Amen. Some churches out there, they don't have revival. They don't have any new life coming into them. But would you expect God to send children to somebody that's going to keep them in a refrigerator? They'd die of frostbite if they were born in that church. Amen. And new Christians, they have to have a warm condition. They have to have a fiery condition, a warm place. And we have to have a fire built inside of our church, don't we? Praise God. But there is a cold that is outside of the church. There's immoral activities going on out there. I was out in California, and I talked to a man at a guitar center. And just talking to him there, he worked, and told him I was from Arkansas. He said, "Oh yeah, I was in Arkansas one time. We were touring, and we went to Springdale, Arkansas." And I said, "Oh yeah." He said, "Yeah, we performed in a church." I said, "What kind of band are you?" He said, "Oh, I belong to a heavy metal band." I said, "Well," he said, "Yeah, we went to bars and nightclubs, and we had one church at the end of it we went to." And I might should have rebuked him or something, but I couldn't think of anything to say at the moment. So I just walked off. But it's getting to the place where the things inside the church are the same thing as the things that are outside of the church. There's no temperature difference. Amen. There's no fire in the church, and there's obviously no fire on the outside of the church. Amen. It is the nature for the world to be of a cold nature, but it should not be for the church to be of that nature as well. Amen. There should be a fire, a change of temperature in the church that is different than that is in the world. Amen. Here, there can also be a cold that's inside of the church as well. People that come to church all the time, but they don't benefit the church at all. These accusers. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast, they had showed him kindness and built a fire for him, but when they saw the venomous beast attack his hand and bite him there, they said he was a murderer, an evil man. And out of all 276 people, God had decided to attack this man. They said Neptune, the god of the sea, he didn't get him, but old Nemesis, the god of justice, is going to get him. And he may have escaped one god, but he's not going to escape the second god. He's going to die of this. Have you ever seen those people in church that it didn't matter what was going on? They were always talking. I heard a lady preacher say one time that the ones who are complaining are usually the ones that aren't doing anything. And that's pretty true in my experience. Praise God. But I've seen people out there, if someone's more spiritual than they are, then that person is in the wrong. You ever seen them kind of people? If they're up front shouting, they're in the flesh. If they're up front praising the Lord, then they're doing it for the wrong reason. They want to get seen. If they get up there and walk around the altar praising God, then they'll get to sing next service or something like that. Or Brother Lloyd sees how much they give in the offering, they'll get up and sing next Sunday, or who knows what'll happen. Amen. They're doing it for the wrong reason. If someone's more spiritual than you are, maybe you ought to move up instead of criticizing them. Amen. Cold people in the house of God. Praise the Lord. We've got wax figurines sometimes that if the heat did get turned up, you'd just melt instead of warming up and doing something. Praise God. And I heard one time when a man told John Wesley, he said, "Mr. Wesley, I pride myself in speaking my mind. That is my talent." John Wesley said, "Well, the Lord wouldn't mind if you buried that talent." And some of you may need to bury some of your talents. Praise God. But there can be a cold that comes from outside of the church, and there can be a cold that comes from inside of the church. Something that tries to get all of the fires to die down. Amen. There can be how many know that whenever you get really cold, you get numb? There's a first time whenever you start to get cold that whenever you're hit by something or something hurts you, it hurts a lot worse, doesn't it? You ever played football when it was really cold outside? Or paintball or something like that? It really hurts. Praise God. But if you get to the place where you're really cold, there's a numbness that sets in. That blood stops circulating out to those extremities and starts trying to preserve the body heat, and so your hands start feeling numb. Amen. And if you start getting into that place where you're away from the fire, there's going to be a numbness that comes. The things of the world, the things of the flesh won't seem as bad anymore. The things that the devil tries to tempt you with, they won't be as shocking anymore, because you're going to be numb because of the cold that the devil has placed upon you. Amen. But if you get back to the fire, that warmth draws the blood circulation back. Amen. And that circulation starts happening again, and the feeling returns, and then that shocking. I can't believe where I was before. Amen. But if you go past the numbness, then there's an activity, inactivity, a sleepiness. And if you ever lay down and go to sleep when you're cold outside and hypothermia and all of that, then death comes, doesn't it? Amen. But we have to do what it takes, get close to the fire to get rid of the cold. There's a cold that's in this world, and there's a cold that can be in the church house. But we have to have the cure for the common cold, the fire of God. Amen. And it doesn't matter how strong the winds of the world may blow. It doesn't matter how strong the voice of the devil may seem. If we get a hold of the fire of God, he can cure every fire that's out there. He can destroy every cold and every rain that is out there. Praise God. Amen. There was this cold that was there, but there was also these men that started a fire. And there was rain, and there was cold, and probably wind, I would say, being this was an island, and every time I've been close to the ocean, there was a lot of wind. How many of you has ever tried to start a fire in the middle of a really windy time? Now, you have to shield the match, you have to do all of that, and they didn't have matches back then. Has any of you ever tried to start a fire without matches or lighters, some of the old methods of starting a fire? Rubbing sticks together, or the fire drill, or whatever they call that thing. You ever tried to do that? It wouldn't be very long. You'd go back to using matches again. Me and Stephen one time decided we was going to try one of them magnesium fire starters they sell in Walmart. And we went back to matches. Praise God. Very soon. Never did get a fire started. But these people were professional fire starters. And I've been to out there in Panama. They'll have the rain coming down. They can have, I don't know where they find dry wood, but somehow they do. And be hot outside even, and whatever's going on, but they can find right wood, start a fire, and cook just as good on that as they could on a gas grill. Some of them, there's one lady that fixes fish for us usually when we're down there, but I think she fixes it just as good on the wood fire as she does on a gas fire or gas stove that she had at her house, I believe. And professionals. If we went out there right now, we'd probably burn everything or something, or maybe not get it all done. Praise God. But they were professionals at this. And these people, it didn't matter that the rain was coming down. It didn't matter that the cold was all around them. It didn't matter that the wind was blowing and all of this. I don't know where they got the wood from, but they'd been storing it up. They were prepared to start a fire. Amen. And we have to get to the place where we are professional fire starters, I believe. Amen. And I'm talking about getting that zeal inside of your heart, the Pentecostal fire down deep inside of you. There's a worldly fire that you can have inside, a zeal for the world. But we have to get the zeal for God and the Holy Ghost fire inside of us that will consume us. And we'll be ready to start a fire at any time. Amen. I read a little list here before church. It said we need more. What the church needs today is more action and less faction. We need more workers and fewer shirkers. More backers and fewer slackers. More praying and less playing. More burden bearers and fewer tail bearers. More praying and less fainting. More tongues of fire and fewer fiery tongues. More zealous effort and less jealous thought. More love for the word and less love for the world. More seeking for grace and less seeking for a place. More holiness of life and less bickering and strife. More praying and less straying from God. Amen. We have to get to the place where we're more of you, God, and less of me. All of those things could be summed up with let's get more of God and less of the world. Amen. Let's get more of God and less of the things of the flesh and get more of the Spirit instead of the things that the flesh would like to have in us. Amen. We have to get a hold of the passion of Christ, the fire of the Holy Ghost and the zeal that Christ had. What was the Bible said about Jesus Christ, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Thine house hath eaten me up. Amen. If we got that fire down deep inside of us where his zeal, Christ's zeal, was burning inside of us for the house of God, and we were prepared to start a fire. Amen. The Bible tells us that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He got up there on the mountain and said, the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And you know what happened to the Baal worshipers and all the other prophets, and 850 of them, I believe it was, did all their thing. And Elijah prayed his short prayer there, and the fire came down, consumed the altar and the water and everything that he had done to that altar there. And the fire of God came down, and the people cried out and said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. I believe that out there in the world, there's some people that's wondering, They're saying, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And whenever this world gets shooken up and all distraught, you know where they're going to turn to? They're going to turn to the true church that has the fire of God. They're not going to turn to the church that says, we'll try to help you be happy. They're going to turn to the church that has the fire that can warm their souls. Amen. And they're going to say, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Amen. I read a poem by Amy Wilson Carmichael. She was a missionary to India. She rescued girls from their temples over there. They did immoral practices. She would rescue them. I think even at one time she was maybe going to be sentenced for kidnapping a girl, probably because she had rescued them from those temples. 60 years she was on the field without ever coming back to England and seeing her board and reporting to her board and seeing her family or whoever was there for her to see. But she said, give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope that no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. Amen. This was a woman that was completely consumed by God Almighty, I believe. She worked tirelessly over there in a strange land, something where nobody, that wasn't her people. But she worked out there completely because of the fire, the zeal that was inside of her. The Apostle Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us, presses us forward. The fire that's inside of me. Amen. Why don't we all stand here tonight? How many of you say, I want to say that last line, make me thy fuel, O flame of God. Amen. We've got the cure for the common cold, the fire. But how often do we come to church unprepared to start a fire? How often do we come to church unable to be set on fire? We come to church with all wetted down with the things of the world. We come to church all tore apart or distracted by the things of the world or our minds on other places instead of on God. We're unable to be set on fire. How often are we unwilling to be made a fire for God? Amen. How many say here tonight, I want to be prepared, I want to be able, and I want to be willing? Why don't we make that our prayer here tonight? Let's come up to the altar tonight and say, God, make me able, make me willing, and make me prepared to be on fire for you. We have the cure for the common cold, amen, if we take this fire to the world.